Number one is single in number. It's our sun is, we have one sun in our planet that shines, and we have one S-O-N sun. He's the only begotten sun. One also means indefinitely, different, diverse, opposed to another, single by union, and undivided. That sounds kind of like my God to me. He is one in Himself. He's undivided. You can't divide it. You can't divide one as a whole. I know some of you might say, well, I can take one and divide it into fractions. But I'm talking about a whole. And God's one, and He's the wholest person I know. He is whole altogether. You can't divide Him. You can't measure above Him. You can't go below Him. No circumference can go around Him. Wherever you go, He's already been there before you got there. Why? Because He's indefinitely and He's undivided. You can't divide Him. You can't conquer Him. Why? Because He's the one. He's the one. You can take one and you look at it and it's very insignificant to us. Because one means nothing to us anymore, or us the adults. We look at a penny or we look at a dollar and we're like, that's just $1. What am I going to get with a penny? What am I going to get with a dollar? And one becomes insignificant to us. But I find that a kid that's pure and he hasn't faced bills, he hasn't faced problems. A little kid sees a penny and they think they found something big. A little kid sees a dollar and they think they're rich. One still means something to them. What does one mean to you tonight? You cannot have a million without one. You can't have a billion without one. You can't even have two without one. I went homeschool. One plus one is not 11. I learned that. Two plus two is not 22. I learned that. It means one plus one is two. But you have to have one. I'm talking about a number, but I'm also talking about my God. My God is one in Himself. There's none other like Him. Hey, you can look up and down. You can look everywhere you want. Scientists are spending billions of dollars. Our world is spending money to try to find out who He is. And if there is another one, oh, but there's not another one like Him. He's the only one. Hey, there's not another one that you could compare Him to. Why? Because He's the one. He's not just the one, but He's the one. Why? Because He was in the beginning before the beginning began to be good. God was there. He made all this happen. God's been behind it. God supported it. God was behind every bit of it. And God sent His only begotten Son so that you could be one with Him. I'm talking about the one. I'm talking about there's only one. You can look at Buddha and his bones are still there. You can go to Muhammad's grave and his bones are there. Oh, but you go to the grave of my God and there's no bones there. Why? Because He's the one. Can't compare Him to nobody because there's nobody to compare Him to because He's number one. He's the prize. He's the goat. He's not second place. He's not third place. But He's first place because He's first class and He's the one. I don't need a God that I some statue that I go look at or something like that. You have to dust them off or some fake idol and some. I don't have to worship my truck. I don't have to wash it off. I don't have to fall in love with the things of this world. Why? Because I need to fall in love with the one that made me a Christian, that saved my soul, that changed my life. I'm telling you, He's everything I need. He's the one. Hey, I don't need a God that I have to take care of. I don't need somebody that I have to polish up and have to carry around. But I need a God that will carry me around. I need a God that will polish me up. I need a God that will help me when I need help. And if I'm broken, I need a God that'll be there to fix me. I'm talking about the one. One's more important than the rest of the numbers. One's more important than any. Why? Because He's the one. He's different. He's diverse. He's opposed to another. He's single by union. Oh, we could talk about union. I wonder what God would do with a unified body of Christ. He's undivided. And I like this one. He's indefinitely. You can't get around any numbers without starting with one, Brother Billy. You got to start with one. That's where you start. He's indefinitely who He is. He is the one. There's no doubt about it. And He's the one. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. John chapter 10. Turn over to John chapter 10. He said, "The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." I'm talking about the one. More abundant Christian life. There's more than just salvation. John chapter 10 and verse 22. "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and came to the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." If you want to do a good study, figure out why he walked on Solomon's porch. That jumped out at me one day. God said, "Why did he walk on Solomon's porch? Why was that mentioned in here?" And I began to ask God, and God said, "Because he'd been there before." He'd been there before, way back in Genesis, way back in 1 Chronicles and Ezekiel 44:3. He was there the threshing floor. Oh, he was there the whole time. And this time, he was visiting it in body form. He was visiting, said, "I've been here before." Well, I like to have a fit. Amen. Verse 25, "Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Ain't you glad that you have a Father that bears witness? I wonder what we would do if we would become one with Christ and allow God to bear witness through us. Don't even have to tell somebody you're a Christian. They know it. Don't have to tell somebody that God changed your life. They see it. Verse 26, "But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all." Why? Because He's the one. He's greater than all. "No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. You say, "Why am I going to heaven?" I'm going to heaven because He is one with the Father. He is one with the one that's sitting upon the throne. Jesus is one with Him. And I accepted Him one day. And I got born again. And that's the only way I'm going to make it to heaven. Why? Because He's the one. He was one in His sovereignty. He was one in His sovereignty. He was one way back in Genesis 1. And He was one in Revelation chapter 22. From this side to this side, He was sovereign. Always been, always will be. And He's always been around. And He's the answer to our problems. He's the answer to whatever you need. He's a sovereign God. He's one in His sovereignty. And then I see in Acts chapter 2. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, He was the one. He was the one in His holiness. Nobody was holier than He was. Nobody will ever be. He was holy. Acts chapter 2, Peter begins to talk. And we'll look down in verse 26. It says that, "Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy, and with Thy countenance, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David." And he goes on to talk about that. But look over there in chapter 3, the next chapter over, in verse 13, it says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One." It's capitalized there. "The Holy One and the Just." That's capitalized. "The Just. And desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince," capital letter, "the Prince of Life." He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. He's the Prince of Life. "You killed Him," He said, "whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I'm talking about a holy one. As Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, look in verse 51. Acts chapter 7, let's start in verse 50. Said, hath not my hand made these things, ye stiff neck, uncircumcised in heart and ears? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming the just one. Capitalize J, capitalize one. The just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he was full of the Holy One, amen, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I see he was a holy one. He was not only holy, he was not only the one in his sovereignty. He was not only the one in his holiness, but thanks be to God, he's the one in his redemption. God is the one in his redemption. Nobody else redeemed me. Nobody else come to talk to me about my sins. Nobody else come to me to give me some help, but the one. The one come to me and help me. Romans chapter 5. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Let's look over there. In Romans, I like his scripture, amen? And it's good for us. Romans chapter 5, look in verse 10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received an atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All have sinned. And Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. Dad preaches a message on the three nuns that come from Rome. I'll never forget it. There's none that seeketh after God. And so there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. But he said, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into heaven. Sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all sin, for all have sinned. It's by one man. So do you realize that you're one? You're one. All by yourself. Luke chapter 16. The Bible says, in verse 19, says, there was a certain rich man, clothed in fine linen purple. A certain rich man. One. Didn't say there was many. Said there was a certain rich man. You look on down a couple verses, and the Bible says, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You're one on your own. You'll find that that rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Then you find that Lazarus dies, and he's carried away to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man looks over and sees, he sees Lazarus in his bosom. He tells Abraham, he was religious, knew who Abraham was. He sees Abraham, says, Abraham, will you send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He understood all things. He was in hell. He was by himself in hell. And he understood all things. He was the certain rich man. Then you have the certain a beggar whose name was Lazarus, which was in Abraham's bosom. Do you realize you'll give account to God by yourself? Kids, your parents will not be there to protect you. Your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, your grandpa, your grandma. You'll be by yourself standing before the one to give account for what you've done in your life. You'll stand before God and give account by yourself. And it's going to be a sad day when you stand before Him and you ain't done nothing with Him. And He's done it all. And maybe you rejected Him. Maybe you're lost. or maybe you're saved and you haven't done nothing with Him, but we will all stand before God one of these days. There ain't going to be no pastor or Brother Andy to help. It's just going to be you and God, and you'll stand right before Him. You'll give account for everything you've done. Why? Because He's the one. He's the just one. He's the just one. And so He will judge you according, righteously and according, justly and according to this book. I believe He'll judge us out of the very Bible that's in front of me. I believe He will. He'll judge us out of the Bible that He left. No excuses. I left this Bible for you. The answers are there for you to live by, everything you need. And then He'll turn around and judge us out of the very same book that we carried around in our hands, that we threw on our end tables, that we let dust collect upon. People died for, gave their life for. They preserved it so we could have it today in the Laodicean church age. He said, write it. Put it in a book. He said, so all the churches can have it. Every one of them. And He said, I'll preserve it from this generation forever. We have the Bible, and He will take the very Bible and judge you out of it. By yourself, you're one. You can't do nothing. When you get in hell without God, you'll burn by yourself, utter darkness, one, just like the rich man. Other side, Lazarus. Lazarus was one by himself, but he was joined to Abraham, Abraham's bosom, which we know that Jesus has died, took the keys of death and hell, carried away captive, my mind and went blank, carried away captivity captive, and took them with him, those that were in there where Abraham was. So we see God is one in His redemption. Do you realize He said, Paul said this, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of it. He said, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And then he makes this statement. He says, unto every one that believeth. He singled you out. And He said, it's the gospel. What's the power of God? It's the gospel. He said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And He says, unto every one that believeth. Timothy said, he said, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He said, there's one God, one mediator between God and man. Man had sinned. You're on your own. Without God, you'll die and go to hell. You're on your own. Give account. You'll stand before the one. But there's a mediator that's between God and man. And He was the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. And His desire tonight and for every person in this world is for you to become one with Him. Do you realize God done all this so you could become one? You'll find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, you'll find that the two became one flesh. The Bible talks about marriage and says, for the woman, you should leave your father and mother, cleave to each other, and the two shall become one flesh. He gave us an example of that when He took Adam, put him asleep. He took a rib out of Adam and made a woman. And He woke up and said, whoa, man. Looked at her, amen. And He said, Lord, have mercy. And the two became one flesh. That was a picture. Y'all get this. That was a picture. That was the first Adam. But there's a second Adam. Brother Billy, God reached down. And the only reason I'm going to heaven, the only reason I'll be in the bride of Christ is for me to become one. To me to be just like Him, to become one with Him. That's the only way that it'll work. That's the only way. That was a physical rib that He pulled out and made the woman out of. And Adam loved, and they too became one flesh. And when you got married, you became one flesh. Or according to the Bible, when you have intercourse, you become one flesh. According to the Bible. And I'm not going to get into that. But you begin to feel what your spouse feels. And my wife now going through things, going through cancer and stuff, I feel the things that she feels. And usually when one of us gets sick, the other one gets sick. And we tease each other about who got who sick and all of that. We become one flesh. We feel each other's hurt and pain. And we're passionate toward each other because we became one flesh, as God said. The two became one flesh. Only way for you to get to heaven is become one with Jesus. And that was His plan from the beginning. You say, hey, Bible, I hope you was asking that. John. Let's go back to John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I love this Bible. Excuse me. It's alive. John chapter 17. Look in verse 9. I love this. He says, I pray for them. Who? Jesus prays for you. You have no excuses. God does everything. He's the just one. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. And all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine. I am glorified, how? In them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Talking about You. And I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me. Look at this, that they may be one as We are. That they may be one. How? How in the world can a holy God that sits upon the throne and can speak a world into existence, He can say, He can have the earth just open and swallow up people. He can put your soul in hell. Or you can accept Him and your soul go to heaven. He has the power of all God. Why? Because He's the one. There is no other. The principalities and powers, they tried to hold Him down. The world traded a murderer for God. And they tried to hold Him down. But the third day He come up. And He had the keys of death and hell. And He led captivity captive. He was in charge. And He come. He didn't have to have somebody proclaim Him. He come Himself and saying, I am He. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm the One. How can the One, Miss Billy, want somebody like me to be one with Him? He desired it so much. Think about this. He desired it so much that He sent His only begotten Son to make sure it happened. And the Bible says that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Isaiah 53. It pleased the Lord to turn His back on His Son. And on the cross He said, My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? His own Son called Him God. He knew He was the One. He knew who He was. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? I'll tell you why He forsook Him. For some dirty, rotten sinner like Sam Riley that needed to be born again, because the One that was sitting on the throne just desired, for some reason, He desired for me to be one with Him. He wanted to be me to be one with Him. He wanted me to be like Him. He wanted me to be able to partake of what He had partake of. He wanted me to feel what He feels. He wanted me to go through the joy of heaven and have a perfect life. He wanted me to have a perfect body in heaven. He wanted me to know what it was like to be perfect. He said, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I got Bible for it. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. God prayed for you before you even believed it. Verse 21. Why? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, look at this, I have given them. I told you you didn't know what you got when you got saved. I've been saying this. And there it is. He said, the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. Then he explains it. He said, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. One of these days, I'm going to be perfect. Just like Him. And the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved me as Thou, or hast loved them, talking about us, as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. He said, on top of all of that, He said, I want them to be with me. I don't want you just to save the rotten souls. I don't want you to only just make them whole and fill them full of my Holy Ghost, the Spirit. But He said, I want them who Thou hast given to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus' whole desire was for you to be one with Him. That's what He wants. Do you realize? Are you starting to see it now? He's the one. And He wants you to be like Him. But there's nothing you can do to become that. Because our righteousness is filthy rags. But do you realize nobody else dealt with me that night? On a Friday night, in a revival, nobody else come to me. Nobody knew I was lost, but the one did. Nobody else knew that I needed to be born again, oh, but the one did. Nobody else knew that I was going to burn in hell without Him, oh, but the one did. It wasn't some apostle. It wasn't some prophet. It wasn't some preacher that come to me that night. Oh, but it was the very one that the Holy Spirit of God, the very nature of God, that's sitting upon the throne, sending the Holy Ghost to come down and show me I was lost without hope. I was just as dirty as anybody else. I was just a rotten sinner like anybody else. God showed me I was lost. God said, Son, you're the only one in the family that's not saved. You're going to die and burn in hell. And God showed me a picture of hell that night. I was going to burn in hell by myself. And I saw a glimpse. God gave me a glimpse of the throne room and me standing by myself. I'm talking about by myself standing there, lost, within my family over there and looking at me and me being lost without hope. Because I've never been born again. I'll never forget. God showed me a picture of the judgment seat of Christ. And I felt so alone. Oh, I felt like I was going to be alone for eternity. And so I went to my dad and said, Dad, I need to be saved. And he said, Son, you've heard the Scripture. You know what to do. That's all I need him to say. Is just answer. I went down to this old-fashioned altar. It was in a church. I went down and got on the end of it. And I said, God, I'm a rotten sinner. Oh, I'm wicked. I'm a rotten sinner. And I'm scared of dying and burning in hell because I know without a shadow of doubt I'm lost. I know I'm lost. And I'll stand before you alone. Would you save me? Would you save my rotten soul? Forgive me of my sins. Come to my heart and save me. And oh man, that one come down. And that there was one over here and the two became one flesh. And I become one with Him. And I become born again. All of heaven come down. And I felt peace like I never felt before. Why? Because the very one that cared for me and that desired for me to be one with Him. In John, He said, God, would you allow them to be in me and I in you? That way we may be one together. I become one with Him. You can't take it away from me. Hey, because the one's in control of it. The Bible says no man can pluck it out of the Father's hand. You can't. I'm just as bulletproof as He is. You can't divide me. You can't conquer what I've got inside of me. You can take my Bible away. You can take this old flesh and away from me. Oh, but you'll never take what I got. Why? Because I'm one with the Holy One of Israel. I'm one with Him. No principalities, no powers. The rulers of darkness, high places. It's all right. They can't do nothing. They can buffet this old flesh. They can tempt me, and they do. They can do everything they can to destroy my ministry. And they'll try everything they can. Why? Because they hate me. Because I'm one with Him. I got born again. You'll find in Job, they took all the animals except the sheep and they burnt the sheep. Why'd they burn the sheep? Because He hates sheep. I'm a sheep. That's why. That's why He burnt the sheep. Because he asked the Lord, He said, if you'll move that hedge that you got on Him, He said, I'll make him curse God. He said, I'll move the hedge, but you can't take his life. He took everything material, everything that the world had to offer, which ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. Everything the world had to offer, one of the wealthiest men at the time, Job was, and he realized he had more than what the world had to offer because he had the one. And he's standing there, and he said, though I make my bed in hell, he said, he's there. No matter what happens, wherever I go, he said, he's there. Why? Because I'm in him. He's in me. He said, I look on the right hand. He's not there. The left, forward, behind me, where he just work. He said, he knows the way that I take. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. Gold is first place. Why do they use gold as first place? Because there's nothing more precious on this world than gold. Angels look at it and they go, that's just asphalt up here. You're one with God. You need to realize tonight, and this is what I'd like for you to do as we stand. If you're not saved, first of all, you'll stand before God by yourself, one, by yourself, and you'll give account because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the worst thing. I don't believe torment. I don't believe the torments of hell is going to be horrible and all that. But I believe worse than all of that is being alone, without God, by yourself, one. Nobody around you. There's no party in hell. The rich man didn't see anybody else. He was by himself in hell. One. He was by himself in hell, and he was alone. You'll be alone. I believe that's the worst thing for the God that controls your heart, your breath, and everything. Just to leave you and be alone. Be away from God forever. And then tonight, for those that are saved, I want you to think about what you got when you got saved. And I want you to think about how a holy God wanted you to be one with Him. I know it's hard to fathom, because we're just rotten sinners. I'm no better than nobody else. It's because of His righteousness that I'm going to heaven. But maybe you drifted away. Maybe you're kind of like looking at, kind of like you are when you look at a dollar. You remember we could buy all kinds of stuff at the candy store for a dollar, 25 cents, nickels. Some of y'all remember buying Cokes and everything else for nickels and dimes and all of that. But now you look at the same thing and it's no value to you. Because of the world, a dollar's nothing anymore. And it has no value. And maybe, I believe, we have gotten that way with God. As we've gotten away from God. God wants you to be one with Him. God wants you to have a relationship with Him, just like you do your wife, or even more than that. I know this, if I have a relationship with God like I'm supposed to, then I'll love my wife like I'm supposed to. If I have a relationship with God like I'm supposed to, then I'll be a father to my children like I'm supposed to. If I'm one with God like I'm supposed to be, then I'll be the man of God that God wants me to be like I'm supposed to. And maybe you've drifted from God. Maybe you've drifted away, got caught up with the things of this world. No value. Doesn't mean nothing. Life is but a vapor. It appears for a while and then vanishes away. Pleasure of sin is more ceasing. Then it's over. But I'm telling you, God's desire, I read it to you, God's desire, He wants you to be one with Him. How's your relationship tonight? Are you one with Him? He's the Prince of Life. You say, I want to have a good life. Well, He's the Prince of Life. He's it. He's everything I need. When I can't afford it, He can. When I can't make it, He can. When I can't heal it, He can. When I don't know what to do, He does. He told the disciples, don't even care an extra set of clothes. Don't even care another set of sandals. What He was saying is, you just go and I'll take care of you. I'll provide what you need. He walked by and just said, follow me. All He wants us to do. Why? Because He wants you to be one with Him. I wonder how our relationship is tonight. As they sing, won't you pray? Won't you ask God to help you be one with Him in your relationship? If you're lost, but ask Him to save you, be one with Him in your life. Amen. As they sing, He's the one. You don't need nothing else. He's the answer.